in sin did my mother conceive me. And verse 6 is the one I want us to focus on. Behold, thou desirest truth. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And I guess if you want a title for this message is, what's your story? What's your story? Father, Lord Jesus, we ask right now, Lord God, that you'll give me utterance, O Lord. Lord God, that the words that I will speak will be the words you want me to speak, Lord God, that they will edify, that they will encourage, that they will correct, that they will uplift, Lord God, that they will, oh Lord, touch every heart that's in here today, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. We ask for your covering, Lord Jesus. We lift up your name, and of course, we give you all of the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Let's clap our hands one more time. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today, people don't really want to hear the truth, especially if it's about ourselves. It makes us uncomfortable. We'd rather hear how good we look, or how well we're doing, or how wonderful we are, or how smart we are. But as much as we say we want to hear the truth, when we are confronted with the truth, it rubs us the wrong way. You know what we want to hear? We want to hear a story. That's what we want to hear. What we want to hear is something that will go along with our own story. You know why? Because we're always actually telling a story about ourselves. When we want to do something wrong, we can't just do something wrong. We have to come up with a story. Think about it. We have to come up with a reason why it's okay to do what we're planning to do. We have to come up with a story. Something to justify what we're going to do, because it's very few people just do stuff. They're going to have a story. You know, when we were young and in school, it was because they did it first. That was the story. He did it first. She did it first. That's the story. Because we need something to justify what we're about to do. We have a story that will make us feel better and justified in doing what we want to do. And it's not only people that have stories. Countries have stories. You know, in Germany, in the late 1930s, the country had a story for why they could attack the Jews. It was because the Jews had, they said, helped them lose World War I. And so that was the initial story. Of course, when we start telling a story, it doesn't always stop that way. That story was not good enough to do the next step. They had a story to arrest all the Jews and take away all their businesses and put them in concentration camps. But that story was not good enough for the next step they wanted to do. So they had to go to another story and say, these people are vermin. They're not worth keeping alive. And so countries have stories. So they needed a better story to start to exterminate all the Jews. And after the war, when they caught some of the German officers, they had a story. Because, you know, you got to have a story for when you're doing unspeakable horrors. Their story was just following orders. Wasn't my choice. I was told to do it. You see, because God created us as rational human beings, most people have to make up a story for what they want to do. And it's actually very hard to just go do something crazy unless you've thought of a story to go along with it. And you know, the devil is very happy to provide you with a story. If you don't have one, he will give you one. Genesis 3 and verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, here's the story, he shall not surely die. That was all she needed. That was the story she needed to justify what she already wanted to do. She didn't take much persuasion because she wanted already to do it. She just needed a story. And if you want to do something wrong and you don't have a story, the devil is quite happy to provide you with a story. Verse 5, for God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. That was the completion of the story. Okay. Because she wanted to do it. Knowing good and evil. You see, when we're caught, we're always going to come up with a story. Sometimes there is truth to the story. Sometimes a child was brutalized growing up. Sometimes they didn't have a father. They came from a terrible background. And sometimes the story has a lot of truth in it for why it is now they're brutalizing somebody else. But that's not an excuse. See, when we're, that's all we're given is brutality and violence. That's what sometimes we tend to give back. Some stories are real. They have hurt and abuse. I'm not saying they're not real. But that's still not a justification. I remember when we were living in Virginia, we were probably living the furthest from the church of anybody. It was a small little home missions church, only had about 15 people or 20 people. And we of course, were involved. We were teaching. We were doing stuff. And it was a kind of difficult time. And we lived in the next county because it was, prices were so high, we lived far away. And so, you know what? We were perennially late to church. But we had a story. So one day, the pastor called us up in his office and he said, you don't love God. He was just that direct. Did I quit and say, no, we started telling him a little bit of the story. But then I stopped. You know what? When you really want to do something, you will find a way. And I realized I'd been making up a story. Yeah, we had a lot of stories. You know, we had two young children. We were young. We only had one car. We lived 30-something miles away. We had a long story. All of it was true. But it was still no excuse. It's because we didn't put God first in our lives. After he talked to us, we changed. We changed. We stopped telling our story about why we were late for church. You know, we had young children. She was still breastfeeding. The oldest son had been diagnosed with autism. We could come up with all kinds of reasons for our story. What's your story? Because all of us have got a story to justify when we don't want to do what's right. But when we want to do something, we make a way. We find a way. See, there was a truth to some of what Adam said. When God confronted him, what did he come up with? A story. What was his story? The woman. He didn't say, yes, it was me, God, I messed up. No, that's not what he said. He gave a story. We all have a story to tell when God confronts us. He said, oh, it was the woman. Now, there was some truth to it, but that wasn't an excuse. He had a choice. The woman you gave me brought some of the fruit and I did eat. Now, that's a very weak story. Let's be honest. Some of our stories are very weak, are really weak. The man in the parable in the New Testament that was only given one talent, he had a story too. Do you notice a pattern here? Everyone's got a story. They got an excuse to justify what they're doing. Matthew 25, chapter 25 and verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee. I know you are a hard man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you have not strawed. And so I went and hid the talent. That was his story. So sometimes the story, though, is so far from the truth, it's just a plain lie. Sometimes our story is so far from the truth, it's just a plain lie. We make excuses. What's your story? Why can't you serve God the way God wants you to serve him? All of us have stories. We had a story. We thought we had a good story, but the truth was we could have done better. In the Bible, we have an example of something was just out of flat lie. Their story was just a flat lie. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. There was a certain couple named Ananias and Sapphira. And they saw everybody giving. And when everybody gave, the pastor said, stand up, this person has given. And this and so they wanted to get in on this. So they had some property. They decided to sell it. They decided to tell Peter, we're going to give it all. Now, it was their choice. They didn't have to lie. They could have just given whatever they wanted and it'd be fine. But they decided they would come up with a story. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy unto it. That means they colluded. They planned this. This was a plan. Tell you what, we'll go to the pastor and we say, we're giving all of it, but really we're not. Now, they could have just given 50, 10, whatever, $1. All they had to say, that's what we're giving. They were under no compulsion. What they were under compulsion as Christians to do was not tell a story. Right? Not tell a story. Verse 2, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie? See, the story probably came from Satan. You see, he will provide you with a story if you want to do something wrong. He's a great story writer. Verse 4, while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Now, you can deceive people, but you can't deceive God. And they paid a very high penalty for trying to fool God. But the truth is, God doesn't want your story. Because he's got his own story. And he'd rather give you his story than you come up with yours. See, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperate. You know, it's just human. The first time we're confronted with something, immediately we start to think of a story. What can I say to get out of this? How are we going to get out of this? That's right, tell the truth. That's why I read you Psalms 51. Because when David was confronted with some terrible, terrible things he did, he didn't tell a story. But he said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me that I confess my faults. The Bible says he's faithful to forgive us, but only if we confess. In the Old Testament, you could get forgiven for all kinds of things if you confessed. Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. If you're looking for a story, Satan will find you a story. He told Eve, look at how beautiful this is. It'll make you as smart as God. And she believed him. The devil will sell you a story for you to repeat. But you know what? God doesn't want your story because he's got his own. He's got a story for us. Instead of taking the devil's story, Jesus wants to give you a new story. A story of redemption, a story of healing, a story of forgiveness, a story of love. That's what he wants to give you. You don't have to make up your story. In John 3:16, you all know this verse. That's his story. He wants you to know his story. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. That's his story. That's what he wants you to know. He wants you to understand and take that story as your own. That God so loved the world, so loved you, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says he sent not his son to condemn the world. That means he's not coming here looking for your story. Don't give him your story. Take his story. For God didn't send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The only way we're going to be saved is if first we learn his story, then we become his story. In Matthew 11, 28, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He's really inviting you to come to his story. He wants to give you his story. As I've said so many times, I've done funerals where I didn't know too much about who was in the casket. And there's not too much I can say. But I always say this at the end. This person's story is concluded. He's written or she's written her last chapter. But each and every one of you here today, tomorrow morning, you get to write a new story. And you know what story it can be? It can be one of Jesus Christ. It can be one of salvation. It can be one of deliverance. It can be one of faith. It can be one of love. Instead of coming up with your own story. My story is not very good because our stories are not going to end the way we would like them to end. You know how the fairy tale ends? And they lived? See, that story can only be written by one person. And that's Jesus Christ. We can't write that story. And as much as we try, as much as we hope, only Jesus can give you that story that ends, "And they lived." Because his story is eternal life. His story is resurrection from the dead. His story is deliverance from sin. His story is forgiveness from sin. "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's his story. My story is a lot of excuses about why I can't do it. And I know what you're looking for, God, but I'm just too weak to do it. And truth, there's some truth to that. But he's not asking for my story. He's saying, "Listen, I've got a better story to give you. I can write a new page in your life that is so glorious, that is so wonderful, that is full of deliverance." And then when we have his story, you know what he wants us to do? Go tell his story. See, first he wants us to know his story, then become his story, then go tell his story. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul is telling what some stories were. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." Don't listen to the devil's story. "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor..." Now, if your name is not in that list, don't worry. If you sin differently from that, it's still sin. But here's verse 11. He's talking to people who have a new story. "And such were some of you, but you are now washed." See, you've had a new story started to write in your book. "But you are now sanctified." That means you're separated from all that mess. And now God has justified you just as if you never did it. See, he's writing a new story. He can write a new story for people who were thieves, for unrighteous, for who were murderers, for who were perverts. He can write a new story. But first we have to get like David and write our own Psalms 51 verse 6. "Thou desirest truth." You got to start off with saying, "Lord, it was me. That story was no good. Can you erase it? Can you throw that away, Lord? Can you take my book? Can you take the control of the pen? Can you start writing a new life story for me? One that starts with repentance, one that starts with confession, one that starts with faith that, Lord, I know you are real. I know that you can fix my life. I know you can take control. I know you can direct my path." See, that was the difference between David and Saul. David did worse things than Saul. But when confronted, Saul had a story. "Hey, you told me you were coming last week. And I've been waiting here, prophet, and you never showed up. God, I've been praying and it never happened, so I just give up." See, we come up with a story. Saul had a story when the prophet showed up. "Why didn't you do it? Well, you took too long, God. I've been waiting for you all this time and you took too long." We always have a story to justify when we want to do wrong. David, on the other hand, as soon as Nathan laid out for him what he had done, you don't hear him saying anything. You don't hear him say, "I'm going to kill you. Shoot the messenger. Get mad at the preacher." when that pastor said to me, "You don't love God." Did we get mad? Yes, it is. I'm flesh. I wanted to tell him a story. I wanted to tell him all the reasons why you don't understand. We live the furthest from church. You people just live 10 minutes away. We had to drive from the next county. And we could have told him a story. But you know what? I want to be like David. He desires truth. So you know what we did? We changed. We started coming to church on time, proving it was just a story. Proving. See, I'm not just picking on that. There's many other things that we could talk about. See, God wants us to speak truth and not come up with stories, because he wants to give us his story. In John 14:27, he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." He wants to give us a story of peace, of joy, of happiness. "I do not give to you as the world gives," because the world will be temporary. Whatever joy or excitement, it's only temporary. But if you can get the story from Jesus, it's permanent. It's not going to wipe away. It can't be erased. Once you get it in your soul, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." That's the story God wants us to put in our book. Paul, writing in Romans chapter 8, verse 38, he says, "For I am convinced, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons," once you get the God story in there, there ain't nothing going to take it out except you. Satan won't be able to change those pages. He can't change that story. It says, "Neither angels nor demons." Romans 8:38, "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future," don't matter what I'm facing, "nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor things present nor things to come," next verse, "can separate us from his story. For God so loved the world that he gave." See, we need to put down our story and say, "Lord, I need your story," because that's the only story that will end "and they lived. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall arise first. And we that remain and are alive shall be caught up." That's the only story that matters. Bible says that we're all going to have to stand before God and give an account. What's your story? "I couldn't come to church because," "I couldn't serve God because," "the devil made me do it." That isn't going to fly. That's very weak tea. Now, I'm not saying that some of us don't have some sad stories. Yes, we've probably been abused or been through some traumatic things in our life. But it doesn't matter. He wants to write the next page. And he is the best storyteller. Looking unto Jesus, who is what? What does it say he is? The author. You know what that means? He can write your story. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author. I want him to be the author of my story. If I try and write it, it's going to go wrong. It's going to have some bad chapters. It's going to have some pain in there. But when he writes it, the Bible says he is the author and finisher of our faith. He's going to write a happy ending. I just have two more scriptures, two more stories to tell you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." You see, if you don't have his story, you're going to be depressed. There's going to be times when you have no one to turn to. But if you have faith, if you know he's writing your story, "Though he walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David wrote a story. I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. See, David knew how to write a good story through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Surely, let's say surely. See, if God is writing your story, you can say surely. Not maybe, possibly, could be. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Last story I want to read for you is in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. Another one of my favorite verses. Here's a story that God wants to write in your life. He says he will wipe away. Revelation 21 verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. If you could stand with me. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. The old story, the old you, the old nature, the old will, the old sickness is passed away. So today I'm asking, what's your story going to be? Are you going to make it his story? Or are you going to come up with stuff on your own? What's our story? I want it to be his story in my life. I want to be able to tell his story, what he has done for me. The times when he saved me from death. The times when he delivered me and I didn't even know it. The times when I just missed the car coming through the red light. The times when I could have ended up in the hospital and I didn't even know it. The times when he just blessed me for no apparent, just because he loves me. I've had some of those stories too. My story is not all doom and gloom, I'm telling you that. My story is blessing. My story is elevation. The Bible says, for what man could not do, God did. God has elevated me. That's really my story, that I'm still blessed and highly favored. Amen. Nearly 70 years old, but I've never spent a day in hospital. Because I'm still blessed and highly favored. And if you have spent a day in hospital, you're not there now. You're here. So you're still blessed and highly favored. We need his story. Not to come up with our own. Not to let the devil write one for us. But let this be your story. He will wipe away all tears from your eyes. And there will be no more death and no more pain or crying, for the old things are passed away. Now that's a good story. Amen. These altars are open if you want to pray. We'll pray with you. But I just want to encourage you today. Don't tell God your story about why you can't. But say, Lord, give me your story about why you did. And I promise you, if you will do that, you will see a remarkable change. The next chapter of your life, not saying you won't have trial and tribulation, but you will not be alone. For he has promised to never leave us nor forsake us, because he is a good God. Hallelujah. We're going to close this sermon. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to come and pray for those at the altar. But I want you to meditate upon this. The next time you think of a story to make up of why you cannot, just remember what I've told you about why you can. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are writing our story. Lord God, you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we come to you today in all humility. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. Lord, we have no story of our own, Lord God. No excuses, Lord God. But Lord, we need your story in our lives to change it, Lord God. Lord, that it can have a good outcome. Lord, we submit to you, Lord God, and to your will and to your way. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We bow down before you today. Take our lives, Lord Jesus. Take our will, Lord Jesus. Lord God, make your will be our new story. We thank you right now for your blessing and your grace and your goodness and your love. We lift up your name. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask blessing on everyone who is here today, Lord God, that you will start to write a new page, Lord Jesus, a new direction, Lord God, one of blessing, Lord God, one of deliverance, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you right now, Jesus. Hallelujah. We lift up your name, church. If you could continue to pray for those at the altar, to pray for yourself, that God will help you write a better story, a new story of deliverance, of blessing, of increase. Hallelujah.